Welcome back to Can We Trust God During Tragedy? Welcome to the Encouragement Now podcast with licensed professional counselor Kevin Phillips, personal growth life coach Laura Donnie, and pastoral care and peer counselor Joseph Herrera. Perspective is a big thing. And there's with perspective, you know, if you're outside of the disaster, you think, okay, wow, that's tragic. When you're inside of the disaster, it's you have a totally different perspective. But one of the things that, you know, sometimes we don't do is we don't think of resources. Now, resources don't have to be tangible, physical things. You have mental resources, emotional resources. You know, what would happen if I went through that disaster? How would I feel? How would I look at God? What would my emotions be? And so sometimes what we have to do is prepare ourselves. Most people are unprepared for anything. Most people, and I'll give you a couple of examples. You know, you have the macro scale, which is global, right? Which it would be the wider community. There you have resources there to help, but sometimes those resources are wiped out. You know, we look at North Carolina, and a lot of the resources that they had were wiped out, and so you can be prepared and still not be able to handle the disaster. The micro level, your personal level, most people are unprepared. They're not prepared for the emotional toll. They're not prepared for the physical or financial toll. So what do? We have to then prepare ourselves. We can only prepare ourselves for what we can. Most of our trust is going to be in God that we're going to be taken care of, whether it goes the way we want it to or not. So those mental, emotional, spiritual preparedness, the resources that we have is prayer. It's understanding. It's saying, Lord, whatever happens, I trust you. I'm following you. But then what are the small things that we can do? So just last week, I was driving home from a lunch with a friend of mine, and I looked at my gauge cluster on my vehicle and saw that the oil was down to low. I mean, it was if it couldn't go any further, it'd be going backwards. And I was like, oh no, that's not good. And so I was like, okay, I need to find a place to pull over. And you know, I found a safe place to pull over. Opened up the hood, pulled the dipstick out, looked, oh, I've got oil. I don't know if I have pressure. And so I had two choices to make. I can risk it and drive it to the shop, or I could call a tow truck. Now, thankfully, I had learned my lesson and I had roadside assistance. And I had to wait 2 hours for the tow truck to get there. But for me, that was a better scenario than having to buy a new engine for my car. So it ended up that the cluster gauge failed. You know, I had the sensor replaced. They checked it. It works fine. But I was only out $150. And that was better than buying a new engine. I was prepared for that. I was in a place where not only I was safe, but I could get my vehicle to the shop. But just this last Sunday, we had somebody at our church who couldn't get their car started. And so I had one of the other pastors come to me, hey, do you have any jumper cables? I'm like, I do, but I also have a jump pack. So I said, I'll go and help them. So I went over there. It cranked over fine. It just wouldn't run. I was like, it's not a battery issue. there's something else. It's, if it's not battery, it's probably fuel. So I told him, I said, you need to get a tow. He lived 45 minutes away. He didn't have roadside assistance. And I said, what are you going to do? You know, what's your plan? He didn't have a plan. And, you know, it's a Sunday. Nobody's working on Sunday. There's no shops that are open. So he had to get a tow truck. And the tow truck had to take him. Somebody had to actually drive him all the way to his house. And then going on from there. But, you know, if you're prepared, you're most of the time, you're just inconvenienced. If you're unprepared, it's like the weight of the world is on your shoulders. You can't handle the stress. You're trying to, you know, you're trying to figure out, I don't know how I'm going to be able to do this. And so, you know, we have to be prepared. We need people in our lives to say, hey, what's your plan? What are you doing? I tell most people, if you want to ride the wave of a economic downturn, don't have any debt. Because the less debt you have, the better off you'll be, the less stressed you'll be. But what do? Oh, I need the boat. I need the new car. I need a new car because it has a warranty. And you're like, that's dumb. And I'm sorry if I'm offending you, but you know, having a car payment because you need a warranty it's not smart. Having a paid off vehicle and having cash in the bank to be able to pay for the repairs is smart. But what we do is we look for ways to be prepared without actually being prepared. And then we have to argue with the shop saying, no, that's covered under warranty. And they say, oh, no, it's not. And next thing you know, you have a car payment and you're paying for the repairs. And I see that a lot. So on the micro level, we have to think of all the different things that can happen. Are we going to be prepared for everything? No. But if you're not prepared for anything, then everything is going to affect you and you're going to feel like your life is upside down.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, Joseph. I think hope is also an aspect that will get us through our current miseries and current tragedies and so on. That hope in eternity, I think, is the only way we get through the current, but it still hurts, but it's the only way that we can keep our sanity and get through the current stuff. And the scripture reveals that hope is the anchor of our souls. It keeps us in place. And there's another scripture that indicates that if we hope in Christ only in this life, then we are of men the most miserable. So our hope needs to be eternity. And that eternity needs to, for us to identify what our place is in that eternity, what our role is, how we're going to fulfill God's ministries, how we're going to express his love, how we're going to reach out to a dying world, and how we play. So all that mission that we have currently, but also what that spells out eternally in our everlasting life with God, has to be a stalwart part of our constitution and our spiritual DNA, or we can't get through this current stuff. And we have to have that hope. Hope is a big time part of it. And it's hard. We still cry. We still can't sleep at night because our loved ones have passed. Our property or our assets are destroyed, or people are paralyzed. That's gotten into wrecks, and our children suffer. Our hearts melt. It's terrible. But hope is one of those things that will get us through.
Absolutely. Yeah. And we have the one in whom we can place all of our hope because he's faithful. You know, one of the scriptures that has ministered to me personally greatly, and I'd like to share it with the listeners because they may not have even ever read it before. They may have seen it. They may have read it. They might not have, you know, you can see something but not see it, right? Okay. It can be hidden in plain sight. And it's found in Job 14:5. And he says, since man's days are determined. Oh, wait a minute. Since man's days are determined, the number of his months is with God. And man's limits God has set so that he cannot pass them. Now, why did that become meaningful to me. Because what it told me is that I came into the world with a specific date I would be born, and it also meant I had an expiration date. In Psalm 139:16 says, God, your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of my days, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. And the reason we can take great comfort in that is because death is something, according to the scriptures I just read to you, death is something that has already been assigned to us. So in other words, before we even got here, we had an expiration date. Now, the reason I find that comforting is because it tells me that God didn't take my husband or my child. It tells me that God has a sovereign plan that was in place. I can't understand it. I think Joseph said it. I'm not sure if it was Kevin or Joseph. We try to make sense out of nonsense. But according to the word of God, he knows us. He knew us before we were even in the womb, but he knew us in the womb. And our days were already numbered. And I think that's important, at least for me, because then I understand death was not just a random thing, that the person's story was fulfilled according to the sovereign will and mind of God. Now, I'm not saying I like it. I hate death. Okay. I don't want to lose anybody that I love to death. But I also know that God has made death a slave, and the last enemy of God to be put to death is death itself. Mm-hmm. So I understand that it's not like God and death are hanging out, having coffee, winking at each other. Okay. Death is a slave to God. And God has used it with restoration in mind. Thank God we're not stuck in these fallen bodies in corruption for eternity. That's merciful. Now, I've lost people that I love, so I never take loss of a life easy. It's heartbreaking. It's the most anguishing pain I believe we'll ever, ever experience this side of heaven. But having said that, when we encounter a world suffering, what we need to do and get to do and ought to do is reveal the Father's love in the midst of it. Mm-hmm. We need to reveal the Father's love. And I want to say from a biblical perspective, judgment is not now. God is not, quote, separating the goats from the sheep with these tragedies. That's unbiblical. Judgment is going to come, but it is not the day of judgment. In fact, the Bible is very clear that God is not willing that any should perish. We are being reconciled to God every day. It's God's desire to have many sons and daughters. So what we get to do in times of tragedy is first just cry with them, just be with them, just pray for them, just meet their needs. But when they're able to hear, reveal the Father's love. Don't try to make sense out of nonsense. There's things that God is silent about. And wherever God is silent, I want to be silent. I want to say to the listener, to you personally, understand that your earthly destiny is hurtling you to an eternal destiny. Just like Joseph said, right? What's your plan? If your plan is to be in the presence of the Father for eternity, then that means your plan is that today you call on the name of the Lord. You give over this old life to Christ so that he can give you his life. Because there will come a day when you don't get to decide. That's what we're seeing in Texas. That's what we're seeing in these tragedies, is that there's not a time to make a decision. Death will often come swiftly, but praise God for the ones that have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Now, before I say another thing, I just got to say to the person who's grieving the loss of someone, and you say, I don't know if they were right with God. Well, God is merciful and kind, and God knows. And God is not willing that any should perish. So if there's even a little flicker or flame of faith, God knows how to breathe life into that thing. So you trust God and praise God for his mercy. I want to say that you get to, as a born again, called out one, you get to pray for your territory. This morning was praying over the territory. I straddle two different cities. So I feel like God has positioned me intentionally that I might now pray for two cities, not just one. We are to be called the watchman on the wall. It's not your fault if something happens. What I'm saying to you is you have great power through prayer. You have great power to turn back hurricanes. Yes, you do. You have great authority to pray that no harm can come to your city. But are you doing it? And I'm checking myself because I don't do it as I should. But I promise you, I've seen God turn back hurricanes because myself and other faith-filled people got together and did one of two things, called on the Lord and also took authority and said to that hurricane, you're not welcome here. Go back into the sea, right? I'm not desiring it to go somewhere else. But Jesus said we could do these crazy things. And listener, Kevin, Joseph, and I, we would rather look like fools believing the word of God and speaking like the word of God says we can speak rather than to go the way of the world and wring our hands and say, oh my goodness, and I wonder what God's going to do. And God says, I wonder what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. I wonder what you're going to do. I gave you authority and dominion. You mm-hmm. can do even greater things than I've done. So I'm encouraging you, get bold, get up every morning, take authority over your schools. Ask the Lord to release the angels of the Lord over your schools, over your police department, over your city, over your community. Because imagine if you really have this power that I believe you do, and Jesus said you have, imagine what could be affected. But imagine if you do nothing. At the end of your life, God says to you, I gave you a scepter. I gave you authority to pray over the people of your territory. Listen, God has given each of us a territory. It's your family. It's your neighborhood. It's your city. It's your state. And yes, it's even your country. We do pray for God's will to be accomplished. But in that, he's saying, bring heaven to earth. Listen, there's no hurricanes and earthquakes in heaven. So call down the peace of the kingdom right here in the earth. It's what we've been assigned to do. And I have to tell you, Joseph, I have adopted your new thing. That's what I want to leave the listener. What's your plan for eternity? What's your plan if your car should break down in the middle of the turnpike at 11 o'clock at night? What's your plan if the economy, again, does what it often does, which is just go down? What's your plan? And the Bible says, be wise like the ant. Store up in the summer for the things that are yet to come. And so we do put our complete faith and trust in God, and yet we understand tragedy is going to come. Christ has not set up his permanent kingdom here in the earth, but we can keep every day asking, Lord, what's your plan for me today so that I might fulfill it? How might I take authority over the territory that you've given me spiritually? You've given me the armor. You've given me the word of God. You've given me the authority. You've given me the keys. I mean, God has equipped us, okay? We have been deputized and authorized. Mm-hmm. And show mercy to those that are suffering. Please, I beg you personally, don't post things that break the heart of the Father because you're not demonstrating the Father's love. Instead, give to Samaritan's Ministry. Donate where you can. Pray with your genuine heart as if your loved one was in the midst of that mess, or that you yourself, just like Joseph said, and trust that God will show himself to be merciful and mighty in the midst of every mess, and he will make it a masterpiece. I don't know how he does it, but that's why he's God.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to leave our audience with the concept that I've thought about. It's my thought. I think it has merit. It's not thus saith the word and so on. But I don't think God ordained someone to be burned up in a fire. I don't think he ordained someone to die of cancer or in a car accident or in warfare or from an assault or anything. I think when I was in high school, I didn't do so well in math. I don't know. Conceptually, I didn't kind of understand the questions that said, hey, if you have a train track that's 40 miles long and there was a train coming from the east at 10 knots and a train and they're separated by 25 miles and yeah. There's a train coming from the west at 15 knots, when are they going to hit? And I was like, I don't know. Somebody call somebody. I can't figure this out. How do you do this? And X times A times, I couldn't, it's just like it didn't catch me a fish or help me get to football practice. So I couldn't relate. But, you know, I don't think God ordains, the scripture says, and you pointed out, Laura, that Psalms 139, that our days are numbered. He knows our days. They're written in his books. He makes notes on us. And that's poetic and artistic and special because he loves us so. But I don't think he determines, okay, such and such day, such and such time, such and such year, this person is going to burn up in a fire. I think God can take all those train track variables, those millions and millions and he's not prophesying that a person is going to be burned up in fire, but he can take those gazillions of decisions and forecast in the future and know what's going to happen based upon all those decisions. I only had a simple math equation in high school. He's the greatest mathematician, and he can take all these decisions and figure out what the results are going to be with humanity. That's the reason Romans 8 could be written about how he has subjected this in futility or vanity, because he has a hope for the future. He's going to redeem the future. And we go through tragedy now, but God's got this. It doesn't make sense, and it still breaks our hearts. And I just don't think we serve a mean God that's sending lightning bolts and burning people up in fires and car accidents. I think he just knows our days because he knows the end result of all these unlimited decisions that are made. And he's going to redeem that, though. And he's still making notes on those people because in Revelation 20, it talks about a great white throne judgment. And even if we question whether that person was saved or whatnot, God says that the people, there's going to be a first resurrection. And Thessalonians tells us that that's going to be the believers and those who die in Christ. But in that great white throne judgment, the people still are come up and the books are still open, that book in Psalm 139 being one of who knows how many, and those people still have the opportunity to accept Christ. God is in the redeeming business. He does his best work post-mortem. So this is not the end of it. We can still hope in God, and we should hope in God.
Absolutely.
He is not the cause of all this stuff. He is really not the cause of all this stuff. And he is not up there throwing, zapping lightning bolts. If he was doing that, if he had any percentage of that in him, none of us would be here.
Exactly.
Hallelujah.
You know, I want to leave the listener with this. You know, Jesus was comforting his disciples, and he was letting them know that they were going to be scattered, that each one will go to their own home, that they would leave him. Yet he said, "I'm going to be okay, because my Father is with me." And he said this in John 16:33. "I have told you these things so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." And then Paul backs it up by saying, "Therefore, since," and this is in Romans 5, starting at verse 1, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." And that peace is there's no conflict between us and God because of our sinful nature, right? But God also gives us peace. And he said, "Through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our suffering," okay, in our sufferings, actually, "because we know that suffering produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope." You know, what are we talking about in this podcast? We're talking about hope. We're talking about peace in the midst of storms, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of the macro suffering and the micro suffering. You know, if we're not prepared, we're going to suffer. If we're prepared, we're going to suffer. I would much rather suffer and be prepared than to suffer and not be prepared, right? So we have to have in our minds, we have to have understanding. We understand that this world is broken. This world has tragedies. There's going to be things that are going to happen that are going to blow our minds. There's going to be things that are going to happen that we'll see coming miles away. And we can't say, you know, shake our fist at God and say, why? Or how could you? Instead, we say, I have hope in you. If you don't have hope in him, now's a good time to start. You know, now is a good time to say, I need you, Lord. I need your hope. I need your peace. Thank you for my suffering because it's going to give me perseverance. Thank you for my suffering because perseverance is going to give me character. And because you have given me character, I have hope. We need to look at that and say, you know, I hate it, but thank you. You know, there are things that have gone in my life. I hated the process, but I'm thankful I went through it because I'm a better person now than I was before. So I want to let the listener know that we're not here to say, if you do this, this, and this, you'll never have troubles. That is a false gospel. That's a false teaching. Okay. Mm-hmm. And there, you're going to have people that are going to try to tell you that. If you do this, then things won't happen. Well, I'm sorry, but all of us are going to die. All of our family members are going to die. You know, if you look back into the 19th century, everyone that was alive during the 19th century has died. That, and everyone past has died also. That is inevitable. But what we're doing is we say, hey, we have hope that this isn't it. We have hope in Jesus Christ that he came and what he said and what he did is true, and that we can have life after death. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, now's a good time. Open yourself up to him and say, come into my life. I need you. If you don't have a church, find a Bible-believing church. Walk with people that are going to help you be prepared, that are going to help you to understand what God's word says, that can walk with you and comfort you. If you've gone through tragedies, don't do this by yourself. Don't say, well, I have to be strong for myself and that's it. No, God gave us each other to walk through the good times and to walk through the bad times. We need each other. Find a Bible-believing church. Walk with people. You know, tell them the things that you're going through. Help them go through their things also, because you have knowledge of things that you've gone through that can help somebody to understand when they're in the processes. And you can say, I've been there. I know what you're talking about. So walk with people. Talk with people. If you need help, reach out to us. Go to our website. Fill out the client form and we can talk with you. But don't do this by yourself. Don't think that if I have this magical formula that my life is going to be okay, because we're never going to be immune from suffering. But if we're prepared for it, we can weather it. We can ride it out and we can become stronger. So reach out to us and we will help you. Thank you for listening to the Encouragement Now podcast. For more information about us, what we're doing, and how you can support our ministry, please go to encouragementnowministries.com. Your support can help change lives.